Welcome to KGXT, Gen X Talks podcast, live from Central California. Making plans with the boys. I'm going to hit the town. Yeah, I'm going to make some noise. I'll push past the pain and my wounded pride. I'm going to live it up. Yeah, stay out all night. But sure, I've had some better times. And I can't. So we're live. We're recording and we're live. Are you ready to go live?
Yeah, pretty soon.
Say I noticed hi. That you did put a top on and a bra because sitting here topless when we're recording on Streamlabs, that puts us in a whole new category.
Yeah, think.
That has to be the pay only side of this channel. You can't give that away for free.
Okay, well, it's morning.
It is morning. You barely got here. You were doing so much stuff. You showered, you changed. And was that a little note from someone there?
Yes, from Jacob.
And what is... Oh, not a... Okay. I thought maybe Tripp would tell us, or Sammy would say how we're broadcasting.
I'm going to check right now.
I think we're okay. I think I've got it dialed in.
There's nobody on the staff thread right
nobody
now.
Nobody on the staff thread. Staff's like...
And it's 10 o'clock Thursday in L.A. here, or out in the L.A. boonies. Can we call it the boonies where we live?
Yeah. How do I say it, though? What time zone are we in?
Los Angeles time.
Los Angeles time. We are broadcasting from the KGXT studios, 200 feet below occupied California.
Yes,
it's
we
the
are.
Podcast where my wife beats me up for about an hour. I have prepared. I have trained. I'm in a defensive position for those of you watching.
Oh, please.
And I'm ready to go.
Please. Why don't you start the podcast? It's 10 o'clock.
Didn't I just say we're broadcast?
No, you got to do the intro.
What's the intro? I said... You're talking about like the radio voice and everything.
No kidding. Let's go. 10:01.
Let's see. We said, how would you?
Marcy Zavala is listening live. She says we sound great.
Well,
we have one listener that says we sound great.
Marcy Zavala says we sound. You know why? Because Marcy's like.
Oh, and Damon too.
Did you say my name? That's all Marcy wants. Did you say my name? No, Marcy, we did not say your name yet. All right. This is a Gen X Talks podcast broadcasting from the KGXT studios, 200 feet below occupied California. We're streaming live on KGXTradio.com. Now, if you heard that, you're already listening to the radio station. If you didn't hear it till the replay, you missed it. You got to remember, 10 o'clock every Thursday morning, we broadcast, we simulcast live, unfiltered, unedited. And we record for later, but we edit out all the stuff you're not supposed to hear.
Yes.
But if you listen to live on the radio, you get to hear all the stuff like the, you know, like we just said, the naked stuff. And then we cut all that out for later. All right. So
Did I start that okay? It's a little too early in the morning for that.
It's 10 o'clock. You've been up for like 4.5 hours.
I know.
Isn't that too early?
It's a long day. This is a marathon today.
You know, it is. It's a really
not
long
a sprint.
Day. Well,
it's a marathon.
I think we're going to have a long few days. You and I had personal stuff, which took up a ton yesterday. So we are behind on our Gen X Talk stuff today. And I got all my stuff done earlier as much as I could. And so did you. Then we got the podcast right now. Then we have to edit it.
Yes.
Then Haywood Nelson will be live in studio. Oh, no.
You got Brian Connor from Highway Down. He is the lead voice on our podcast music.
Yeah, he's the intro and exit music you guys hear. And he's been in many more things than just Highway Down.
How people will recognize him. Yeah. The lead singer of our intro and exit song on our podcast is Brian Connor. He's going to be in studio today at noon, right?
At noon, yeah. Now, we're not. I don't think we're doing that one live on the radio, but we will record it. And then we have tonight's Bottom of the Glass show, which is going to be a big, 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 big show. I have so many updates to give everybody. And then tomorrow is Friday. We have a world show at 10. And then now tomorrow's the day Haywood Nelson will be here.
Right.
Live in studio. If you guys remember him, he did a lot of bit parts and acties in the 70s and 80s. But he's probably most famous for What's Happening.
Hey. I catch him saying that every time we're around him. Like we hung out with him in Vegas and he said that. He goes, hey. And I went, hey. I always tell him, I always finish it for him.
In the 70s, he was in What's Happening. In the 80s, it was a longer series called What's Happening Now. And he's just done so much stuff in between, knows everybody in Hollywood and TV. He now lives in Vegas and does behind-the-scenes stuff. But he also does writing and some other things. He'll be in studio for...
He's kind of like a multifaceted person.
Yeah.
He's doing behind-the-scenes lighting and stuff. Then he's writing. He's trying to produce. He's got so many things going on.
Yeah, he's got his hands in everything.
It's crazy.
And so we also got to go by his house in Las Vegas for a few. We know his wife pretty well. They're both coming out.
Blingy,
which is, it's kind of funny. There's a story behind that. When they came down to the car show, the Route 66 car show, they stayed, we all had the same hotel in down there, and they were special guests. And she was talking about how come we all have different names. Like, I'm the General and Gen X dad, and your Mama X. And Two Bear was Two Bear, and Trippy Pineapple was Trippy Pineapple. And she said, well, I want a name. And I'm, you know, because, like, you know,
yes.
She. So everything about her fingernails were glittery, her purse was glittery, her shoes were glittery. I said, well, you're clearly Blingy. So that's been her nickname ever since. She's been Blingy. So Blingy and Haywood will be stopping by tomorrow. That'll be fun.
We haven't even named him yet.
No. Well, I don't know that you can.
Why?
You know what? Sometimes, and I can imagine myself doing this more often and stupidly, is that I find myself calling him his TV character. I turn around sometimes instead of saying, hey, would I go, hey, Dwayne.
We could call him Dwayne. I guess he could be Dwayne.
Well,
I guess he'll forever be Dwayne.
He'll forever be Dwayne. Just like Rerun was Rerun. You know,
Right.
Do you know that Fred Berry actually changed his name legally to Rerun at some point in life?
Really?
Well, and I think the reason was because Columbia owned all of the names and the likenesses, you know, of the show.
Uh-huh.
But everybody called him Rerun. So he just legally changed his name to Rerun. Then he could present himself as Rerun without getting in trouble. I believe that's the way that went.
I hope you ask Hayward tomorrow, like, where Rerun came from. Like, where... I want to hear the backstory of where that came.
I was actually going to consider tomorrow having you in studio, and you don't have to say much, but if you come up with stuff, I think that would be a better dynamic. Like, look at Howard Stern, and he has Robin.
Right.
And he does that, and he does 90% of it, but every now and then... She laughs or chimes in. I think that would be great to have you in studio with Haywood.
All right, we'll see what we can do tomorrow.
But the only problem is then you'd have to leave Blingy, his wife, in the house.
Or she could sit in studio.
Okay, now we're just getting crowded. Now I'm turning into Sheldon Cooper and there's too many people in my studio.
Oh, please.
I can't wait for Brian Connor to get here because he's been in professional studios.
Yes.
You know, he's been in real locations. I know this is kind of a makeshift oaky thing, but it's kind of cool.
You know, it's like a bunker in here.
It is like a bunker.
I'm looking around like, yeah, it's a bunker.
We got a lot of cool stuff. There's so many cool things in here. So.
It is. It's very cool.
All right. So what do we got on the show today, honey? Where do we begin? There's so much going on.
Well, you know, we were in Vegas last weekend and we had a discussion in the car. You came up with, can you call a restaurant a store? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. You know, that bothered me for a long time.
Can you call a restaurant a store? And why do you think that? Why did you bring that up?
I'm really impressed that you're letting me do this because now I remember the conversation. And in the car, I said, you know, and I had this whole explanation. And you looked at me like, just let me sleep. Don't.
Yeah, why? This is too deep.
I don't need to know this. Okay, well, let's.
So bring it up and let's see what everybody thinks.
Now that you're awake and now that you're a captive audience, let me try this again. If you go to Safeway or Albertsons or Vons or Costco, it's called a store. It's a grocery store, just any kind of a store. But it is a store because they sell you things.
Right.
You can buy, you know, you go to a stereo store. I'm going to go to a stereo store. I'm, you know, go to Best Buy or something. Best Buy's is a store.
Right.
They sell televisions and radios and computers and whatnot. It's a store.
Right.
Okay. Why can't you call a restaurant a store? If it's a grocery store and it sells you steaks and potatoes, as they say, and they sell you milk and they sell wine, it's Well, I guess it is a grocery store.
I was going to say, why?
It is a grocery store. But if you go to a restaurant where they prepare all those things, they take the same thing, they prepare a steak, they prepare a baked potato, they pour you a glass of wine, now it's not a store anymore, even though they're selling you things.
But isn't it a service? Isn't it considered a service for you to go to a restaurant? They're serving you.
Well,
it's not a store where you go and pick out like individual items.
That's my distinction. Yeah, okay. Maybe service would be the dividing line there, but
you don't go to the grocery store and they cook you a dinner.
Well, no, but you can go to Best Buy and they bring you things. Go get me that computer and they bring it out for you.
That's a service. They're providing a service.
Then why
for
are
you.
They called a store?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's what I'm
because
getting.
Because you're purchasing an item or you're purchasing items.
It is. Come on. You got to be fair with me about this. And don't you see, you should be thankful. I didn't draw this out on the shower door.
Thank God.
I didn't draw this out. I just talked about it.
Thank God.
If it's a grocery store, if it's an electronics store, well, guess what? When I go to a restaurant, there it's just another store. I'm just buying stuff. There's a menu. There's prices. They bring it to me. I pay for it. Now, is it different because I'm consuming it? What if I don't consume it there? Is McDonald's a store? They're just giving me hamburgers in a bag. I'm just saying. It just bothered me that there's some weird distinction between, there's a weird distinction between a store and a restaurant. You would never call, Black Angus a store, a beef store. Although I would call it, you could.
No, I wouldn't call it that. Well, I'd call it a restaurant because a restaurant is a place where you go eat.
I wanted to do this, only the places we were eating were kind of nice. But when when we went to Vegas and we were in, what was that one restaurant called by the sports book?
The George.
Yeah, which I thought was a stupid name. Because they have, what's the George mean? In fact, when you walk in there, there's a big metal sign that says, what is the George? And we represent all the famous Georges, George Washington, George Clooney. And I'm like, this is dumb. This is kind of a nicer place. And you have to guess what the name's all about. But because it was a nicer place, I wanted to ask the hostess or the waiter and say, what kind of store is this? What do you sell at your store?
Oh, my goodness.
I wanted to ask him that in Las Vegas and go, can you tell me what the store, what do you sell at your store? What's on shelf number 5?
The George was in the sports book at the Durango Hotel. It's new for those of you that are wondering where the George is. And I thought the decor, this whole area was really interesting. It's a restaurant that's kind of like elevated, and then you kind of look down at the sports book, which is absolutely beautiful. Not very big, but very luxurious.
That was probably the best sports book I've ever seen.
And then the bar, what I thought was interesting, had these pillars, and on each pillar had like the World Series trophy, had the football trophy, it had the Stanley Cup. It had a replica of all of them, and it was very cool. I saw that.
I have a question.
What?
When were you in the bar? I didn't go in the bar.
We were right near the bar. We sat right by the bar. I looked at the bar. You looked at the front door. It was behind you.
I just want to make sure you weren't,
And what does it matter if I'm at the bar or not?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Who cares?
I just,
it's Vegas.
I know, but a married woman traveling alone in the sports book bar, that might not go over too well with some religious circles, as they say.
Well, they'll get over it.
Anyway, so yeah, the George was kind of like a balcony looking over down the whole restaurant. One side of the restaurant was a balcony looking down into the sports bar. And it was nice. But the George is only, or the Durango as a hotel has only been open for about 4 months.
Yes.
And I did not find it that impressive. Everybody said, it's the hip hop place. It's got, Now, it may be new, but I didn't care for the color scheme. It looked like they brought all the desert colors inside. Everything was off-white.
You enjoyed the pool.
Off-white, off-tan, off-brown, off-color. That was the whole thing. Not impressive. The floor, the carpets were 3 shades of light brown. The walls were taupe. You're right. The pool.
You enjoyed the atmosphere at the pool.
Well, I had to get an education there, too.
Education?
Well, yeah. I don't think you were there for that. I asked Blingy, Haywood's wife. But so we're out there by the pool. We're having our meeting out there. We had a few drinks. And there was a bunch of 75-year-old men with their granddaughters walking around.
Yes, there was. And there was one creepy guy that really bothered me.
Yeah, and I was about ready to go have a few words with him, but he moved on.
Yeah, he did.
He was that guy that was walking up and down staring at you and the other girls in a sports jacket.
No, it looked like almost a velvet jacket. He was dressed up and he was on the edge of the pool right by the
Levi's. Levi's.
Yeah, it was really weird, but he was like scanning. He just gave me a weird vibe. I don't know.
Well, then the education that I got was that I thought it was amazing that so many beautiful women all accidentally wore the same bathing suit on the same day.
Huh.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it going, wow, there's like 9 women. They're all extremely hot. They're falling out of their bathing suits. In fact, those G-strings, I don't know if there's
a requirement.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if there was a G-string in there or not. You look at their butts and you couldn't tell. It just looked like they're walking around naked.
Yes.
And then Blingy goes, no, those are the girls that work here. That's their uniform.
Yes, the waitresses.
I was like, oh, well, I didn't know. I just thought they all wore the same bathing suit.
Oh, no, it was very Vegas.
Oh, that, yeah.
And it made me like realize how old I am because I was like, oh my God, they're so young.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I was like, okay, well, I looked like that one time. But I was like, wow, it was a G-string with a little sarong. I'm talking
it was a little
triangle
barely covering
it. It was
anything.
Like a handkerchief, if everybody knows what a handkerchief was.
You know what they get away with there that I noticed?
What?
You obviously, I don't think that was a topless pool area.
No.
There were some
kids there, I noticed.
I didn't see any kids
there. Oh, I did. Like, over by the fountain, there was a few.
What these women got away with, because you couldn't be topless, but apparently when you girls adjust your bikini tops, you can pull them out away from your boobs, straighten them out with your thumbs and your fingers, and then let the bikini rest back. You're just adjusting. And some of them adjusted for quite a distance and quite a long time. I mean, it was almost like lifting up the bikini top for 3 or 4 seconds and then putting it back. And I was like, then I noticed there was a few women that adjusted a lot.
Of course they did.
They adjusted their bikini tops quite often. And you guys got mad because I wasn't listening to all the conversations, but
yeah, your dark glasses on.
Oh, I had to put them on because that's the cool part. You put the dark glasses on and girls cannot tell if you're checking them out. They can be sitting right next to you. You can be staring at them. But if you're behind your dark glasses.
Oh, so I don't understand. So at the pool, you can wear dark glasses and look around, but I can't go to a bar.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I'm not sure how to answer that.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm waiting.
Well, can we circle back?
No. I want an answer.
Well, I just think that, you know, it might be, you might get the wrong kind of fella approaching you if he sees you sitting lonely at a bar with a wedding ring on. I mean, you know, they might just walk up to you and give you that.
I don't know, you're fumbling here.
Well, I just think that, you know, it's probably not a, you know.
It's what?
I'm vaguely giving you the impression that
I haven't paid for a drink in years, okay? I can't even remember the last time I paid for a drink.
Yeah, I got it. That's why when you tell me you're in a bar and we're in Vegas, I have to hurry to where you are.
Why?
Because I get there and you're on your third drink and you didn't pay for it.
I don't know what to tell you.
Because the first time I remember this being an issue, I don't know, it was like 20 years ago for us. We're in Vegas one time and you told me the most famous line a guy will approach you with when you're sitting there and you're your wedding rings on and you're at a bar, you'll say, yeah, they come up and go, so did your husband leave you alone here or something? Or where's your guy? You know, because you're clearly sitting alone. And if you've been alone for like 20 minutes, then they walk up, well, where can I keep you company until your husband shows up or some dumb line like that? But
I'm older and wiser. I'd go, sure, you can sit here, buy me drinks till my husband shows up. Why not? Who cares?
Well, it just
that's harmless.
Yeah, but harmless.
Free drinks.
Right. But guys don't think that's harmless. Guys think my foot's in the door.
Oh, please. It's halfway, but that's about it. Who cares? I'm older and wiser now.
All right. So anyway, Vegas at the Durango was not, we had to stay there because the place we normally stay, which is the Red Rock, and they're both station casinos, was booked up and it was okay, but I wouldn't choose to go there again.
No, but you had fun at the roulette wheel.
I did. And
you got to tell the story of the guy that came up to you so excited at the roulette wheel.
Yeah, I play automatic roulette. I don't need to sit there and you know, have a dealer spin the ball. I like it just counting the numbers and doing my thing. And I always win. I always come up on that. And so, of course, we're sitting there, and I'm doing my thing, and some guy comes running up, drunk off his ass, and he comes right across the roulette table, and he throws his hands, and he goes, "Hey, man, you got to try this new game over here, man. It's called I Love Suits. You got to try I Love Suits, man. It's all about flushes and straights, dude. It's all about flushes and straights." And he doesn't know me, but he's leaning over this game like I've been his long-lost friend. He's like, "Oh, there you are, man. Hey, man, I found you. Here's the message." And so I said, "All right, well, we'll try it."
And we found it. It just happened to be on our way to the lobby. It was one table.
Table game.
And there was nobody there when we went up there.
No. And so I'm like trying to figure it. It's called I Love Suits.
Yes. And I really like sometimes when they're not busy. I love when the dealers will explain.
Sure.
What's going on? Because it took us a little bit, but then we caught on.
Well, yeah, but that really wasn't our fault because you and I sat down at this table and the dealer had this thick accent like from the Middle East. And she was wearing a mask.
And a mask, yes.
You couldn't understand what she was saying at all.
It was hard.
And it was terrible and it was hard to learn. And she's mumbling behind with a heavy accent behind this mask. I can't hear what she's saying.
Yeah.
So finally, she goes on break. She taps out. Another dealer comes in, no mask,
right?
Younger. I thought, okay, now I can ask some questions because I've lost a little bit of money trying to figure this game out.
Yes, you did.
And this girl had such
it was a $10 buy. First, it was a $10
minimum bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you're encouraged to bet.
Of course you are.
Two, three other things as you go along.
Of course you are. It's Vegas.
Yeah. So this girl, and she has such a thick Vietnamese accent.
Yes.
No mask. I still can't hear her. I'm like, oh my God, what are the chances I'm going to get two dealers that I have no idea what they're saying? I was kind of getting the gist of some of it, but I was about ready to get up. And then that dude comes and sits next to, on the other side of you.
Yes.
And he looked like a younger version of Jason Momoa.
He did.
Aquaman. He looked like, whoa. And so I said, "Look, man, I don't quite." He goes, "Oh, let me tell you." So in perfect clear English, and I even called him. I said, "Oh, thank God Jason Momoa's here." I said it right when he sat down. He thought that was funny. So he sits down and he's like, "Okay, they're going to give you seven cards. You flip them open."
Uh-huh.
And you can show them because you're not playing against other players at the table. You're playing against the house. And you just try to get
a flush of some sort.
Three or
a
flush.
Royal flush, a straight flush,
right.
A flush.
Anything.
That's what you're looking
to get
for.
Three of a suit. Four right. of a suit is better, and then, of course, a straight of any of those is even way better. So you can
You out seven cards. You only get seven cards, and you flip them all over. Doesn't matter if anybody sees them.
Right.
And you got to match
you
your suits.
Pick.
That's
right.
All you're doing.
So it was good. It was good to do that. And
it was really fun. I caught on to that game.
Right. And they have seven. The dealer has seven cards. They try to do the same thing. All right. So that's the basics of it. Well, I sat down with trying to just play $20. In the beginning, I think I was down 100 or so by the time the lady left.
Before
Jason Momoa showed up. Yeah, yeah. I was down 100 and some bucks. After he explained it to me, I got back up to zero.
Right.
I got back my $20.
And that guy over there was like banking.
Oh,
over
he
there.
Was just he had stacks of checks so
in
high
no time.
He couldn't see over them. But
in
I got back my 100. I got back my 20, and then I went up $80 more.
Yeah.
So once I learned how to play, now I had like a $200 swing in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. We were going to go back there. I wish we had done. I did too.
I wanted to go play because I didn't play.
No.
And I usually don't. I don't play table games.
But I thought would have been something you'd have been good at.
I think so. I would have enjoyed that.
So,
I wonder if it's around Vegas, like if the Red Rock has it or
I'm sure,
some other
well,
ones.
You know all the station casinos will have it now.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
If it's in one station casino, it's probably in a mall.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Craps table that we came across.
Okay.
On the outside of it looked normal.
Well, you told me about it. I go,
it freaked
no way.
Me out.
No way. I thought you were full of shit. And you drunk you because you came across
because I
casino.
Leaned over. I was like, sometimes I just like to watch people, you know, they throw the dice and everything. And
right.
I don't know how craps works or anything. So I looked over the table and there's no felt on the table. It was a video screen. So they were throwing dice, real dice. But on a video screen, that I dragged you over there for that. I was
and
like, you're not going to believe this.
You don't place bets on the video screen. You don't stack. You don't lean over and stack your chips, you know, where you want the bets to go. You have a screen in front of your chair.
Yes.
So you don't the whole vibe of Kraps is
it's
gone.
It's not old. Yeah, it's not old school in there.
No, I don't
anymore.
Care for it. Now, they did have a felt one with a dealer down further.
Oh, did they? I didn't notice
it. Yeah, they had a regular one. And guess what? Everybody was at the regular one. There was like one, two people at the video one. It just didn't impress me at
all.
That
one freaked me out. The other thing I asked you was this. I go, I noticed in the hotel that all the slot machines are now like digital. They have digital screens, video slots. And I asked you a question. I go, does this make it easy for them to switch the game titles? Because I noticed like some were celebrating whatever.
Think of it this way. It's just a computer monitor. That's all it is.
Wow.
They can insert whatever discs they want, and that's the game that shows up. And the disc, and of course I'm being facetious about that, it's really not a disc anymore. It's just a program. But the thing I don't like about that, when Vegas changed over from, you know, one-armed bandits is what they used to be called, when you'd actually pull the lever.
I miss the sound.
And it goes clink, 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 because it's used to be a real mechanical gear and lock system and tumblers. And you would set the machine up, and it would pay out every 3,000 times or whatever. And they had it set, and then that's how they would build it, and they'd ship it out. Well, on a video screen, they can program it to do whatever they want. Here's what I don't trust.
Okay.
They don't even come around and plug those machines in anymore. They don't take a piece of software or a piece of hardware, plug into it, and update the machine, unplug it, and move on. They do it all Wi-Fi now. It's all wireless.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can put a game in there, and the programming is already in there for when it's going to pay off, how long it's going until it pays off, stuff like that, how do you keep them from cheating? And here's what the...
Keep who from cheating?
The casino. How do you keep the casino from holding your money and never letting you win?
Mm.
Now, in the old days, the NGC, Nevada Gaming Commission... because when I lived there before, I've watched them do this. They would rope off an area of like 10 games. And the Nevada Gaming Commission would come in and start putting in dollars or quarters. And it better pay off in a certain rotation.
Oh.
It had to. Or they would fine the casino. You have to be fair about your games. The games are set that they have to pay off so often at so many intervals that it pays off, you know, $100 at this many intervals, $10,000 at this many intervals. That's how it has to be set. It's got to be preset. Don't fuck with it. Don't touch it. So the Nevada Gaming Commission would come in and they would do random checks. They would rope off 10 machines or so. And these guys would sit there with security and pump
in. Man, I want that job.
And record. And they would sit and record how often it paid off.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a digital machine that runs on a computer and it's Wi-Fi fed, you program it through a control room in the casino. When the Nevada Gaming Commission comes in and they start running a test on a machine, how come you can't just push a button so it behaves correctly?
Mm.
So that machine pays out correctly. And then when the Nevada Gaming Commission leaves, you can just click it and put it back to whatever odds you want.
Interesting.
So there's no way I trust those machines at all. And I'm like you. Like you said, you miss the sound.
I do.
Gone forever is the hollow tin sound of money. You know,
That was the casino sound. When you walked into the casino, you were hearing clunk, 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 clunk. And the coins and people screaming. And it just, I miss that so much.
You know what they used to, if you can remember what the slot machine, any payout machine, what the bowls used to look like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were hollow, wood hollow underneath, so they'd be echoey and extra loud.
I love it. I remember going and watching my mom walk around with a bucket of coins.
Yeah.
And then I remember at the end of the day, her hands were black.
Yeah, they're dirty.
They were black. And I was like, oh, that is so amazing. And
they used
there
used to be wipes, little like wipes you could pull out near each machine to keep your hands
clean.
My
mom and dad would sit for hours at a machine and pull and pull.
And now there's no pull. It's just push a button. There's no money. At the end, you get a piece of paper.
Yeah, and there's no, like, sounds. It's not, you don't even hear really anything. Maybe when you sit at a machine, you might hear a little bit, like a computer screen, like you say. But it's not the sound of the casino.
If I owned
a
casino.
I hear more music than I do.
But if I was a casino, if I owned a casino, I would have speakers by all the machines putting out that ping, 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 ping. You know, every now and then it would just do it.
I figured that would be the draw. I don't know why people, why they would take that sound away, because isn't that the draw to the casino?
Huge.
If you hear money coming out of the machine, isn't that going to make you want to go and start spending money?
I like, you know, you can tell when you're in a, when you're in a newer or high level casino too, because all the waitresses are 21 and a day. They're all packaged and bought and paid for. You know, when they walk up to me and like, do you want a drink? And I'm like, no, thanks. I don't need a drink. And she looks at me and smiles and goes, do you want a drink? Yeah, I do.
Her boobs are right at eye level, right, too. You notice?
She's bumping into me with her boobs in my face with, I'm sorry.
You notice when you're sitting, you're at boob level.
Oh, yeah. And when
how convenient.
When they bump into you, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I hit you? No, no, it's fine. It's okay. I happens to me all the time.
You know what I don't notice is there's no men doing drinks.
No.
Why not? Women gamble too. Why can't
do they? They gamble with their husband's money.
So that's still spending money.
That's true, I
Why
guess.
Isn't there any guys offering drinks?
I don't know. Why isn't there guys walking around with no shirts, muscles, and a little black bow tie?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, where's that?
I have another question.
What?
Why did that come to your mind?
Well, because I just noticed as you were playing, I'm looking around, and I'm like, it's all girls.
Notice? Like, you just noticed, or you're thinking about it like, hmm.
No, I just noticed they're all girls. There's no men walking around. Well, at least in that hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
But, well, okay.
You'd have to go see the Thunder from Down Under to get male drinks served.
I don't even know. They probably don't have that there.
All right. What else was there? So in Vegas, we cover everything that happened in Vegas. We tried twice to connect with Dr. McDreamy. It didn't work out both times.
We went to our grandson's T-ball game.
I thought it was kind of cool. You know, Gen X Talks is a little bit on the raunchy side. And these kids are going around with their uniforms that have Gen X Talks logos on their uniforms.
Yeah, on the sleeve.
And a big sign on the center field fence.
Gen X Talks sponsored our grandson's Little League team this year, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it's so fun to watch the... This is coach pitch, so the coaches are pitching to the kids, but there's always a few that are kicking rocks or...
Picking grass in the outfield.
Picking grass or, yeah, throwing dirt.
They
or,
throw their hats at each other while the game's going on, and they're out in center field throwing their hats at each other. The coach is yelling, the ball's coming!
You can tell who, you know, the kids that are like... excited about it, about baseball, or the ones that are just like, ugh, I'm just gonna be here. Like, it's funny.
Well,
but it was good. It was a fun, and you gave our grandson a goal.
Well, I told him if he got a hit, I'd give him $20 because our son kind of forces him to play. He's okay about playing baseball, but it's not his favorite thing.
No, not
But
at
our
this
son's
moment.
Like, you're gonna play baseball because I love baseball.
That's
so he
right.
gets out there and he plays, but he's not super solid about it. He's like, yeah, okay. And I said, hey, you gonna get a hit? He goes, I don't know. Maybe I'll get a hit. Maybe I won't. Who cares? And so I said, if you get a hit, I'll give you $20. So he smacks the ball down the third base line, and it just rolls and rolls and rolls, and then it kind of goes foul right before third base. And he's already standing on first base counting that $20. And the umpire comes up and says, foul ball, get back to the plate. And then he struck out.
I made our son's day because we went, I wanted some of the drinks, so I went to the snack bar. And growing up, our son, he's our oldest. When he played baseball, and he was very good at baseball, he played a lot of positions, but I think his favorite was like catcher. But he always had Big League Chew. I got him hooked on Big League Chew. So I saw it at the snack bar and I bought some, and then we bought some Gatorade and stuff for the kids. Anyway, so we go over there and our son kind of coaches, like they have parents on the field. He's not the head coach, but he's out there. So through the fence, I said, hey, son. And I...
Well, you were holding it back first, and you're like,
I did,
look
and then
what
he
I
came
got.
Up, and his face just lit up.
But
like,
he's waiting for you to poke it through the fence. You're like, what? Do you want some of this? You
yes.
want? He's like, give me the Big League Chew, Mom. And you're like, well, I guess I could. And, you know, it is baseball. He's like, please get it. So then you
it was like he turned seven all over
so
again as soon as
he poked the thing
said.
Through there, and he snagged it for him. Boy, he
32-year-old
man getting all chilly over a fucking... thing of Big League Chew.
He loved it. Every game he had Big League Chew. I think I should have had stock in Big League Chew growing up.
Speaking of baseball. Oh, go ahead. You have
one
else?
More thing.
Yeah.
So we got our grandson a Gatorade. Mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Early.
He chug-a-lugged the Gatorade and had to go to the bathroom during the game.
Leave
an
the
hour
game.
And 45-minute game three times.
Where's
the bathroom? Way out behind outfield fence. and he's running, and he had to go. But after I thought about it, you know how you said, like, he's not that into baseball? Yeah. I almost thought by the third time, I think he was using that as an excuse.
Because he knew you'd take him.
Yeah, so I think
his dad would have said, suck it up, Buttercup, you're playing baseball.
I would have said that years ago, too.
Well, you're the grandma now, so it's different.
Oh,
you're
yeah, not, totally. You're not as hard. Absolutely, totally.
So I got a bathroom story for you there.
Go.
So you guys went to the bathroom. I finally had to go, and, you know, I'm sitting in a wheelchair. But I don't use it when I walk. I just push it. So I thought, all right, bathrooms are really far away. I get my fat ass up. My knees are hurting. I just wheeled the wheelchair all the way around to the bathroom. And then when I realized when I got there, in the pouch of the wheelchair is all of our stuff. Our phones, wallet.
Oh, nice.
All these things. And I'm thinking, okay, I can't take this in the bathroom. I'm trying to get a hold of you. And I can't. I'm screaming across the field at you. You're not hearing me because there's thousands of people playing.
Right.
So I said, I really got to go. So my choices were piss outside around the corner where no one can see or take the wheelchair into this small, weird, little old, you know.
Yeah, it's been there forever.
Park. Yeah, it's park a park. Bathroom. It's a public park bathroom. I thought, fuck it, I'm taking it in. So, of course, I walk in. And the one time I go in there, every stall is full. Everybody's in there except, you know, fortunately, the one way at the end, the handicap one, had the door open. So I'm pushing the wheelchair. And everybody's looking, they're taking a piss. They're looking over their shoulder like, why are you pushing the wheelchair? Shouldn't you be in the wheelchair?
That's what I figured everybody asked.
If you're in a wheelchair, what are you doing? And so I'm rolling this thing down this long row of people.
It's your walker.
It's my walker, yeah. And they're looking over their shoulder. I go, carry on. Mind your business. Move along. You know, eyes front. I'm just making comments as I go. And luckily for me, everybody was laughing about it when I'm like, eyes forward, you know, and then the other guy turns around, looks, I go, what you looking at? Turns around. I made it all the way in there. But I had to take it with me because I couldn't get your attention.
I have a bathroom question.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for women to go into the bathroom, into the stalls with the door closed and have a conversation between the two.
Yeah.
In a guy's bathroom, when you're standing next to him, taking a piss.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a conversation?
No, not allowed. Never. You don't say a fucking word. You never really? Talk to another man when your Johnson's in your hand ever, ever, ever. That okay. is protocol. It is in the guy. It
it's
is.
It's the bro code.
It's the bro code. It's in the the man handbook, and you don't do it.
Okay.
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
I have a bathroom story that you know about. Do you remember the NASCAR race we went to?
Oh, yeah. That was so freaking funny.
This place
funny.
Was packed. There was 50 urinals.
Kern County Raceway.
Kern County Raceway.
Uh huh.
And I go, one of the kids of it was, what it was our your friend's son.
Yeah.
And the husband was one of the track managers down there.
Oh yeah,
so
that's right.
He was working. She was in the stands with her kids. We were in the stands with ours. And I'm like, I'm gonna go take a piss. And the kid who's like 7, he goes, can I go too? I said, yeah, come on, I'll take you. So we go in there and it's filled. It's between races and everybody ran to the bathroom and this thing has a line out front and 50 urinals. So I finally get in there with the kid. We get 2 urinals. I'm side by side with the kid. And I tell him, I just take a piss here. Don't touch anything. And so I whip out my Johnson. I start to go to the bathroom. Now, to my left is this 7-year-old kid. To my right is this guy who's like 90 with a big beard. And he's super, I'm just, that's who's to my right. Somebody comes up behind me and takes their hand to my left inside ankle and runs their hand all the way up the inside of my leg to my ass.
And I'm laughing already because I know the end of the story.
And I went, what the fuck, man? I mean, I screamed. Now the whole bathroom's looking. The old guy next to me had kind of caught and looked. He was looking over his shoulder behind me at this guy with his eyes as big as saucers. Yeah. He watches this guy run his hand up my leg. He looks at me after I scream. He goes, donkey kick him. Go ahead, donkey kick him. And I'm like, the fuck is donkey kick? I mean, I knew it. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, yeah, donkey kick him. So I quickly finish my business. I almost turned to my left and turned around, and I'd have sprayed that 7-year-old. I would have, but I didn't. And I zip it up. I turn around and go, what the fuck, man? And it was a driver. We used to work on Mission Linen. We had our shop. We worked on Mission Linen, all their vans. And it was one of the drivers who I knew pretty well.
Mikey.
I'm like, you motherfucker. I was so, it didn't slow me down. I was mad.
Yes, you were.
I was so hot. So Mikey goes running out of the bathroom at full speed.
He finds me.
I said, I'm going to fucking kill you. And I started chasing him. Then I remembered I have to go back and get the 7-year-old.
Yes, you did.
So I go back in, get the 7-year-old. We come running out. and I'm looking for Mikey. He's disappeared in the crowd by now. When I find you, he had found you.
Yeah, it was kind of like he ran to Mama X, and he was kind of hiding behind me, and I went, oh, something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah, because you...
And you came walking, like, with... The meanest eyes.
I was going to kill him. I'm dragging that 7-year-old by the arm, and I flung him back to his mother, and I went after Mikey, who was hiding behind you. Yes. I was so pissed. I go, Mikey, I know you're from Russia or something. I don't know where he's from. He had some weird accent. I said, but when you're here, don't you ever fucking touch another person when they're taking a piss. You got a full-grown man doing his business. Don't you fucking touch anybody.
It was so funny. It was so funny. Ah, Mikey loves that story. He
yeah,
tells
well,
all the
he
time.
Loves it too, because then all of a sudden we go into, I go back over to Mission Linen, you know, to get trucks and keys and talk
yeah,
to
Yeah, he's got a story.
And he's there and he's told everybody. So now everybody's walking by me going, so you got felt up in the bathroom, did you? That became the story of the day.
Yes,
so,
it did.
God damn it.
Do you want to give everybody a... an update on the daughter situation?
We can give an update on the daughter and Gen Z kid.
Okay.
The daughter, this is, and you're going to get mad that I'm talking out of school about you here.
Okay.
But my wife has got this thing now. She's like, why is she still living here? I was like, what do you mean? She goes, this has got to stop. And now it's frustrating for me too. She broke up with her boyfriend. She took all of her stuff and moved out. She moved back in here. Now she's kind of dating him.
She has one foot in that door.
She kind of goes and stays there for a couple of days, but then she comes home for a couple of days, and it's driving. I don't like it, but it is really driving you fucking nuts.
It is. It's driving me insane.
So you keep pressuring me, you know, make her make a decision.
I don't want a revolving door.
Like, I know. I got
that. It's just driving me crazy.
So, I did have the conversation with her, which I told you guys about a couple weeks back. I said, look. When you make a decision, you're sticking with it. You're either going to get rid of the guy and move back home permanently and figure out your life and get on with your life, or pack your shit, get out, go over there, move in with him, get married, have kids, get going. And she said, well, then she went around telling all of her brothers and sisters that I gave her an ultimatum. And of course, her sisters come running to me. Dad, why are you saying that? Why you give her an ultimatum? I go, I didn't.
Right.
I didn't tell her to move out. I didn't say when she had to pick. I just said, when she picks, I'm holding her to it. You know, this is it. Don't come back.
Right.
You know, and now, of course, if it was beating her or something, that'd be
different. Yeah, that's a different story.
But he's not. But he's just, she's good. If she's going to pick.
She's delaying the decision is what it is.
Right.
She's like just like a hamster in a wheel. She's
but see,
just...
this to me proves that he's not the guy. And I'll tell you why. If she is, she's perfectly comfortable living 5 days a week at home and 2 days a week with him. She's perfectly comfortable in that. Okay, he's not the guy. I mean, in all of life and all of relationships and all of boyfriends and girlfriends that you and I, when we got, or with us, we couldn't stay apart. When we knew that we were right for each other, when we knew this was going to happen, we couldn't stay away from each other.
Yeah,
every
and we moved forward with getting together and getting all of us, let's go. Let's
every
get
opportunity,
started.
Every minute we did.
Yeah.
You just knew, it's like, okay, this is my girl. I'm going there and I'm going to, and I'm every minute.
And just so you guys know, she works with him too. So there's.
Well, she has two jobs. One's a full-time job and one's a part-time job. And she works with him at both jobs.
Yes.
And I told her, don't shit where you eat. And of course, she had to ask me what that meant. But it's an old Generation X saying, probably before my time, but got it from an old man. Why? Because he's older than me. Everybody younger than me is a kid. Everybody older than me is an old man. He was an old man at the time. And he told me, don't never shit where you eat.
Uh-huh.
And she does. If she actually breaks up with him, she will have to see him every day of the week. So, but the proof is that she's comfortable spending 5 days away from him here at home and 2 days there. If this was the right guy, this is for sure your guy, come on. You'd pack up your stuff. You'd cry. She'd come to me and cry and go, Dad, I got to go. This is my guy. I got to pack up my stuff. I got to go. I don't know if this is going to work, but I got to try it. I'm out of here. She would be crying, telling me, sorry, Dad, I got to go do this.
Right.
And she is not
all. Our
at
other
all.
Two daughters are doing it. They're like, we're moving. We're doing. We're got to go. I got to follow my guy. And we're like, absolutely.
Well, yeah. And one of them's following her guy to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yep.
And she's like, no, I don't ever want to live in Lincoln, Nebraska. But that's where my guy's going. And I'm
He's
going
He's got to work there. And yep. I've got to go. And then our other daughter is planning on going to Texas. And she goes, my boyfriend wants to go to Texas, and that's where I'm going to go.
And they're
going to
get married. They are going to get married. He's a great guy. But, yeah, if his job takes him there, she's like, she even told me, she goes, Dad, I'm doing just what Mom would have done. Mom picked up and left and followed you anywhere you went. Mom went.
Yep.
She goes, I'm not doing anything different than Mom. And, see, that type of mentality, I get.
Mm-hmm.
That type of stuff,
I understand.
That's
total honesty.
And it's evident. You're putting it out there. You are deeply in love. You are sacrificing everything. You're pushing in all your chips for this one relationship, and you're making it go no matter what it costs. She's not there.
I know. And that's what's bugging me. It's just more days of this and this and this. And we've asked her to pitch in, you know, at the house while you're here. Hey, you know, just do this one thing for us. It just seems like,
well,
I don't know.
What happens if I say, okay, I'm not telling you which decision to make, pick up everything and go with the guy, or cut off the guy and move everything back home. I'm not saying which decision. What if I gave her an ultimatum of a time and said, by the end of summer, by September 1st, you're going to be in your permanent situation. And she goes all the way to the very end. And she to the last day before she has to move out, before I make her move out, before I make the decision for her. And she picks incorrectly. See, if I make her make the decision and she breaks up with him and realizes she loves him, she'll blame me.
Yeah.
If she picks up and moves in with him and it doesn't work, she'll blame me. She's going to get mad at me one way or the other, even though I would tell her, you can't go on like this. You got to pick something. So
how long do you let it go?
Well, that's the problem with being a parent. Luckily, I have a nagging wife who every single day reminds me that I need to figure this out because I'm working on it. I don't know what the answer is here. This is kind of a tough spot. And I got myself into this tough spot by letting her move back home, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
She broke up. She packed up everything, left him a Dear John note, drove home. But then 3 days later, I made the mistake of her saying, you know, I'm going to see if I can date him again. And let me see if there's something there. And I should have said, then move back in with him.
Right.
At that moment, I should have said, pack your shit and go.
Years ago, this wouldn't have been a problem if we would have done what our parents did, because my parents would never have allowed me to spend the night at a boyfriend's house.
No.
Ever.
No matter how old you were.
No matter how old I was. My dad would have went, absolutely, you're not going to do that under my roof.
Right.
And we have allowed it, and that's the problem.
Right.
We should have never allowed that, because that's the situation that we're in, is we've allowed them to go do this. Oh, no, my dad would have went, you want to go do that? You go do that under your roof.
Well,
that's old school.
I don't know that I could be as, I should be as tough as your dad. Because let's be clear, you made some mistakes in your early 20s when you were an adult.
Oh, yeah.
Your dad called you a whore because he didn't agree with what you were doing.
Yes, he did.
And there's times when I feel like...
No, he called me a slut.
Oh, did he?
To be honest, he called me that word. Until this day, I was like, it shocked the hell out of me coming out of my dad's mouth.
There's some of that I should be doing sometimes. I mean, not all the time, but...
I'll tell you, if you called one of our daughters a slut, it will stick in their brain, because it does, even though my dad is gone and he's been gone for, gosh, 13, 14 years, I can still feel it in my soul.
But like, I've never done that to any of our daughters. But I almost feel like that old school
mentality,
that way of just saying, I'm going to call it like it is,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to deal with the results. I haven't done that to that degree with our daughters, any of them. And I don't know whether this situation warrants that. But this situation does warrant something heavy to move the needle, because we're stuck here.
Yes.
All right. So moving on to the kid. Did you know that he told me I don't know if I told you this. He came out the other day and sat here in studio and had a little meltdown. He goes, I'm cutting out all my summer classes.
Yeah. He kind of told me. I just kind of let it sit. I didn't really give him a response.
I didn't either. I just said, well, you want to know what I told him? He said, I got to cut my summer classes. I got to cut back on agriculture, FFA stuff a little bit. I gotta slow down this summer. And I said, okay, I said, what are you thinking? Why? And this is Gen Z kid, everybody. The Briggs, you guys know who I'm talking about here. You guys also know that he's been having emotional meltdowns because he's
just
doing
too much on his plate.
Too much going on. He's trying to please everybody. And he's why do you guys think you haven't seen him around as much in the last 6 months? He has not been doing as much with Gen X Talks as he used to at all. Not even close. Mm-hmm. Gen X Talks kind of got put on the back burner. You bring that down a little bit. It's a little warm in here.
Okay.
Telling her to turn down the AC, turn down the 4-wattin, as they call it. Some of you get that inside joke. Anyway, he hasn't been around. He's been just really has struggled emotionally in the last 6 months. He's just been on the verge of, you know, insanity. And so he came to me and said, look, I got 2 more weeks of school. I'm cutting my classes back to nothing. And I got to pull back on FFA. I got to pull back on, he's been coaching his high school. He goes, I don't think I want to do any of their summer programs helping them. I just need to pull back. And I said, why? And because I wanted to see where what his motivation was. Uh-huh. He says, I want to spend more time at home with you guys. I want to plug back into Gen X Talks. I want to spend more time helping around the house with you guys.
Interesting.
And I said, okay. Now, this is word for word what I told him. You're not going to believe me.
Okay.
You're going to tell me I'm full of shit.
I'm sure I will.
But you can ask him. Just go ask him what I said. I said, well, son, I love you, and I'll support whatever direction you decide to go. But I will strongly advise you if I think you're going down a path that's going to cause you an issue.
That's good.
And he about lost his mind. He was very happy with those words. And now he's just trying to get through his next 2 weeks. So maybe 2 weeks from now, we might see a difference in him. And I'll tell you, as a father, I always look for little markers with kids. I look for little signs that they're maturing.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an example. If I told him, hey, I think there's someone on the side of the house, go check. He'd look out his window. Nah, it's fine. If I told him, hey, I think someone's in the front yard messing with our cars, he'd look out the window. Nah, I don't say anything. You know, I would go out with a flashlight and a pistol or a flashlight and a
yes,
bat.
Yes, you would.
I would search every car, make sure they're locked, make sure there's no footprints on the grass. I mean, when you think there's something going on, you explore it and you secure the property to the fullest degree. He never does. Not even a little bit. Doesn't care. The other a week ago, I said, the dogs are going crazy back by the chickens. So he walked out about 10 feet, looked, said it was fine. Didn't even check. No, it's fine. Could have been someone out there.
Okay, so where are you going with this?
Well,
you look for signs.
Last night,
yeah.
You know this, last night, our daughter left the front door wide open.
Yes.
We were upstairs. She came home, left the door open, left the lights on downstairs, and just went to bed. Pisses me off.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Kid comes home. Gen Z kid
after
comes
her.
Home. Briggs comes home after her, and he walks upstairs. He goes, man, I was freaked out. I go,
oh, yeah.
What? He goes, the front door was open. I didn't see you guys. I didn't hear you guys. I didn't see the dogs. He said, I was sure somebody came in and killed you guys.
Mm.
He goes, so I took my AirPods out of my ear. I started turning off lights as I walked through the house. I'm being careful, grabbed the bat by the door. I searched all downstairs. Then I came upstairs. By the time I got to the top of the stairs,
the dog.
Because I saw my dog with his ears wagging, and I went, okay, we're probably fine.
Yes.
But the point I'm making is that is the first time in his entire life he has looked at a situation like an open door and gone, okay, it's up to me. I got to step up. That is the first time in 19 years that he has ever taken something seriously like that.
Yeah.
And I've been looking for moments like that, and he crossed one.
Yeah,
I saw it happen.
I've had a couple of conversations since he told me about the school situation. I let it sit. We didn't have a discussion. I just was like, oh, okay. We didn't go any farther. The next day, we kind of touched on school, and I said, are you going to go back to doing maybe online, like taking a class? And he goes, yeah, I'm probably going to think about it, because then he's home, right?
Right.
The other thing I said, maybe you should just take one class in the summer. You don't have to take a full load, but just take one. So I want him to keep going, but I didn't want to tell him like,
right.
Hey, why don't, so I'm saying, hey, why don't you take, because summer classes are condensed.
Well,
it's a really quick one. But
he told me he doesn't like being a student. He goes, you know, I got to tell you, he goes, I don't like being in classrooms. He goes,
isn't that interesting?
Done it for
and
a year.
He wanted to do it so bad.
So badly. He goes, Dad, I tried. I'm not a good student. He goes, I don't know if I'm ever going to be. He goes, I'm going to scale back my classes in person. I'm going to try to take himself online. He was terrible as an online student. He was not good.
But maybe he'll do better. Maybe he'll do better now that he's experienced.
Well, optimistic mom. You're always so optimistic with him. I don't know.
Well, the other thing I said is I go, you know our rule, you know Dad's rule. If you don't pull full, you know, full load, you're going to have to pay rent. He goes, I'll pay rent. I mean, without even thinking, he said, I wanted to see his reaction on this. He goes, I'd rather pay rent than go to classes. I was like, wow, it's that bad.
I'm worried that he's going to, because he's a little bit lazy still, and because now he's realized I don't like being a student, I'm really worried that's going to change his trajectory about being a teacher.
Yeah,
because that is a lot of school ahead of him still, and I mean a lot. And you cannot do it all online. There are classes you're going to have to go to.
It's going to have to be a discussion. We're going to have to talk to him a little more. But I think that's a discussion we got to wait till after the semester's over.
I think we should put it to a vote of the listeners on the radio station. We should put up a poll, and then they should get to decide what he's going to do.
And then give it to him. Everybody has voted that you...
You're an in-person student, so shut up, suck it up, and get back in class.
There you go.
I put some pressure on Josh Maddox.
Uh-oh.
I know. He's not the right guy to pressure. He's the guy when
that
you give pressure.
That guy is like a timid little bird.
He is. He's quiet, and he's so nice, and he's so humble about stuff.
I got it. He's like a chihuahua. He starts shaking, nervous.
Well,
Josh. I love you.
Josh Maddox does great things and then thinks he's doing terrible things.
Yes.
He plays beautiful music and goes, that sucked, and it doesn't.
I know.
He does a job as a pharmacist and thinks that his whole day was ruined, and yet he took care of 1,000 people that needed medicine.
Right.
He's always down on himself. So knowing that, I know that anytime I put pressure on him, I know first thing he's going to do is beat himself up. But remember, I put that deadline. Remember you came to me yesterday with those sheets of paper about broadcasting KGXT radio?
Oh, yeah.
And letting the entire world know by letting radio.co flood the market with, hey, there's a new radio station. And it gives us one chance at a first impression.
Right.
So I said, we're doing that June 1st. Josh, you got to have your 1,000 songs. You got to have your Beatles hour, your Beach Boys hour, your 3 metal hours. That's a lot of work for a guy who's not doesn't want to work under pressure. So I'm going to have to help him out. But I realized once I said it, once I wrote it, once I kind of announced it, I was like, fuck, I better help him do this because I don't want him to get mad.
He's got a full-time job and you're asking him to volunteer and get a radio station up and running.
Okay, but to
good
be fair.
Good going there. Way to go, man.
He doesn't have a family or kids or even a dog, so come on.
Hey.
He
deals with people all day long. That would drive me insane.
It would. So anyway, June 1st, we're going to pull the trigger on whatever that stuff you were reading me yesterday, I'm in.
Okay.
Pull the trigger, blow it out there, and let's hope the radio station is up and running enough where we go from 3 listeners to a few thousand. That's what we're shooting
and
for.
And how do they listen? If they're listening to the podcast, how do they get to the radio station? Because we don't have an app yet. It's coming. But how do they listen?
KGXTradio.com. KGXTradio.com.
So while you're sitting at your computer, you can keep that tab open and listen to the music. That's what I do in my office. I listen to it and keep it going.
And a lot of people make it a little icon on their desktop, a little shortcut. They make a shortcut. They sit down on their computer. They click it. The music comes on and away we go. So that's a good one. And there's ways they show you how to do that.
I think there should be a Gen X mom hour. Like I should do my favorite songs or something. I was even thinking of doing all like girl songs because it's all, you know.
What, like Go-Go's and Pat Benatar?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That's it. Why are you looking at me like that? Why do you give me that evil look like?
You're giving me the look like, oh, God, a Gen X mom hour.
Well, at first I thought you were going to talk for an hour, and I thought, no way are we subjugating our staff and our members.
I already talk an hour with you.
Yeah, but I couldn't have you just doing it right. Like, no one would want to hear you for just an hour.
Yes, they would.
Oh, please.
Whatever.
Come on. That's fine.
So let's do it. I came across some articles that I wanted to have a discussion with you about.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Is this like current news?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Wendy's is giving away free French fries with a purchase every Friday until the end of the year.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like Wendy's fries.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think? Who in the fast food world has the best French fries?
McDonald's.
Oh, by far.
And then, like, I can go to McDonald's and just get fries and a Coke, and I'm fine. Now, back after that, Tommy's fries, chili fries are better. They're and In-N-Out Burger. Those are my next two behind McDonald's.
Sammy Joe says the radio is playing right now instead of the podcast.
Oh, just probably because it went off.
Okay. Well, anyways, so I am not. Oh man, my favorite snack if I was out on the road is a cold Coke from McDonald's because they have the best syrup for right. Coke and French fries. I think that is like that's my go-to. If I would be fine with that. I could keep going with
well,
that.
Well, that's what I said. I could go to McDonald's and just get fries and a Coke and I'm fine.
Oh, me too.
It's that good.
Me too. It's so good. Okay, so here's another one. You ready?
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper is launching a new flavor for the summer.
Okay.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Ready? Creamy coconut.
Ew. That's gross. I don't want a creamy drink. I don't want a creamy Dr. Pepper. And I certainly don't want... Ew. That's bad on every level.
I am not... You know what's funny is I am not a coconut fan. I don't like it in a candy bar or whatever.
No.
In these energy bites that I make,
yeah.
I do put like shaved or shredded coconut in it. And you right. can't taste it because it's with other things, you know? But I don't go like, oh, I got to have a coconut. So I'm like, when I read this, I was like, hi, Dr. Pepper, you're kind of ruining the Dr. Pepper thing.
Well, that's an active, okay, that's not a marketing strategy. If you're adding coconut to your soft drink, that's an act of desperation.
You think?
Yeah, I couldn't do that. And that's the thing, like you said, Wendy's is giving away free fries with any purchase. Why? Are they having trouble getting rid of their fries? Because there's no way anyone's going to Wendy's and going, ooh, I can't wait to get me some of them fries.
I don't know. The last one, I don't remember this. Maybe you did. But McDonald's is bringing back the Cheddar Melt from 1987. Do you remember the Cheddar Melt?
I don't.
I even wrote it. It's a 1/4-pound beef patty, grilled onions, and melted cheddar cheese sauce.
I don't. Ew, cheddar cheese sauce.
That's what they're calling it, cheddar cheese sauce.
Why can't they just put
not...
a piece of cheddar cheese on there and let it melt?
I don't know. I don't remember
I
that.
I don't remember that one either.
But they
now
said
I
got
to try it. Just I don't. It doesn't sound good, but now I got to try
well,
it.
Well, they want to bring it back and see how it goes. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
so do you know who Boston Dynamics is?
I do not.
A lot of people listening are going to know who Boston Dynamics is. That's a company back east that makes robots. They're the ones who have been all the videos you see about robot dogs
really?
And robots kind of jumping from chair to chair yeah. and doing a backflip. There's other companies doing it. Most of them are Boston Dynamics. And the thing was that it did look humanoid in shape, arms and legs, but there was hydraulic lines, you know, on the outside and exposed. And you know, that's how they had to make
it. But if you put clothes on them.
Well, they just came out.
Uh-oh.
With a brand new robot.
Yeah.
All the lines are hidden inside the framework of the body now.
Yeah.
And do you remember in old movies that had monsters or robots? It was stop action photography. It was claymation. So there's always kind of these jerky movements of the robot
yeah.
on the screen.
Right.
In fact, when we used to dance in high school and do the robot, we would make... jerk stop we would make funny motions with our arms and hands
yeah
because you're mimicking
because it wasn't fluid
no because you mimic right. what the robot looks like. This one does that in real life. That's how close they are. It still has stop motion looking to it, but it's so fluid it looks one step away
ugh.
From complete natural walk. It's not there yet, but it's as close as I've ever seen anything. I mean, you had robots that were robots and you could clearly tell they were robots. Then you had robots on TV and movies that were fake and they were stop action, but they were close. This robot is now at movie level.
Ooh,
back then.
So iRobot's coming true.
It's pretty close. It looks a lot like an iRobot, but it doesn't have a face. It's got a big round circle. But if they put a face on it like from iRobot, it would look just like very close to the robots in the movie.
What was
iRobot?
His name?
Sunny. Yeah.
Yeah, Sunny.
That's what we named our pool equipment. Remember?
That's right. We did, Sunny. Ooh, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. I don't like
that's
that.
That's really something. I mean, it's that close. So.
I don't know. So, do you have a car story this week that you want to talk about?
First, I wanted to ask you something back when we were on T-ball and baseball.
Oh, go ahead.
You want to tell everybody your rant you went on yesterday?
What?
You fucking came out here and kicked in the studio door, interrupted what I was doing, talking about...
I don't know if I want to say that publicly.
Well, what you did it
to you?
Say it. Tell him your history of and how you feel vindicated year after year.
Yeah, but I don't
year.
Have all the details to it. But I don't know what year it happened or whatever. But I think back in the day, Oral Hershiser of the Dodgers was like one of the first, I think it was $1 million pitcher, right?
Well,
he signed or something. I can't remember.
At the time, his contract, whatever it was the biggest.
It was huge.
And it was a multi-year, multi-million dollar. Right. And he was very arrogant. I'm taking us to 3 World Series.
Exactly.
And he got paid.
Oh, of course, every player gets paid. But during that season, as soon as he signed, not a few months later, he's out for the season.
Yeah.
How convenient. But he still gets paid.
With an injury.
Yeah. So I have repeatedly...
You fucking wigged out when that happened. You were so pissed off at Oral Hershiser back then.
I was so mad.
It was like 88 or something.
And I don't remember.
88 or 80, you were so mad. You're like, who gave him all that money? You should never give a pitcher all that money.
And now he's worthless.
And now he's worthless. He's not coming back. He won't pitch. Yeah. You went off.
Oh, yeah. And then since that time, that is stuck in my brain. Multiple pitchers have signed huge contracts and have gotten hurt.
And you always let me know.
Oh, I'm like, it is again. They sign a multi-deal and then it happens.
You come out and go, look, another pitcher, God damn it, and give him all that money.
Now I know there's going to be people giving me feedback. I just know it. Like, I'm going to add all these details
that's
wrong.
That's a nice way of saying giving you feedback. They're going to give you shit, but you're not wrong on the broad strokes of it. You're right.
So the Dodgers just acquired Ohtani for the season, who is, he's an incredible baseball player. I'll give you that. Yeah. He's incredible. What's great about him is that he can hit, he can pitch, and he can field. He's a multiplayer. I mean, that's amazing. But so he
top
just...
Top money. I mean, big money.
I think it's $100 million now.
That's ridiculous
money. It's like insane amount of money that they signed him for.
And what happened the other day?
Well, now he can't pitch the season. Huh. Because he got injured. Bummer. They said they're going to keep him in. He can. I guess it was an elbow, I think. Or elbow or shoulder. I don't know. Remember. But now he's out. He can't pitch.
Now, how could... What? Oh, but he can hit.
They said he can hit, which I'm not exactly sure how that works.
How on earth can you have an injury that makes you not pitch, but you can still hit and run and field?
Field. They said he could still field.
How? What muscle does a third baseman... use different than a pitcher that you can throw from third base. But
so I don't know. See, that's where everybody's going to go. Here's your details. But the thing is that he just signed this huge deal and now he's hurt and can't pitch. But will he collect his money?
Yeah.
Of course he will.
I like to put it the way she's trying to say it, to put it in more context. Here comes this guy, gets paid $100 million to pitch, and now he can't pitch. Oh, sure, you can put him in different places. But when you pay Oral Hershiser a bunch of money to pitch and he can't pitch, that kind of defeats the purpose. Then all through the 90s and 2000, 2010, anytime a pitcher got a huge contract and then mysteriously, within the first 3 months, was no longer a pitcher, my wife came out and told me. And now Ohtani comes out. He got paid 100 and some million, and he can't pitch. If you're getting paid
I don't understand. Are the people that are making these contracts absolutely stupid?
Why can't they put it, if they followed your advice... Okay.
Yeah, then that's what I'm going to say.
Then you would say, we're going to pay you $125 million or $145 million to be a pitcher. And if you get hurt and you have to play left field, you're getting $12 million.
Yeah,
here's your pitching contract.
Yeah, put in a clause.
And then here's your every other position if you can still play contract. I'm just saying, because you're right.
Yeah, because I want to go to a baseball game and sit in the dugout and get paid $100 million to watch a baseball game. That sounds amazing. That's my dream job right there.
Yep.
Show up to all those games and sit on the bench. Hell yeah.
I wanted to say something.
I'd be just totally fine with that. Pay me to watch baseball.
Speaking of my wife losing her shit, our millennial daughter, the one we just got through talking about, she ruined my wife's frying pans, or two of them.
Yeah.
So she bought her some more, and she's getting them, but they came dented, and she's sending them back. And to be fair, this particular millennial daughter's a little dingy.
Yeah, think? She's blonde.
A little dingy.
A little?
A little dingy. And she comes in and she goes, okay, I contacted the company about sending my pans back and they want me to put them in a box. And then she stares at me and I go, then fucking put them in a box.
Uh-huh.
She goes, should I put them in the same box they came in? And I looked at her and said, do you think they'll fit? She goes, I don't know. And she goes and gets the box. She had broke it down. So she folds it back up.
Oh God.
And she tapes it and she goes, oh, they fit. They'll fit. I go, yeah, they'll fit in the box they came in. Good job. So she takes that and she starts putting it together, and she's not sure what she's supposed to do. And she's asking you, where's the box tape?
Right.
Do I get some peanuts or some bubble wrap to wrap it in and put it in there? And she gets it done. And then she says...
She leaves it on the living room floor, not finished. She didn't close it up and everything.
This is a pretty big box.
Yes. And the tape's out and everything in the middle of...
And she's leaving it all out, which pisses my wife off because she's leaving the job unfinished and she's going to drive away.
Yeah, she was packing up to leave for the night.
Yeah, to the guy's house, which we don't approve of her. Yeah. So she's walking. Now, I've been in the living room the whole time. I've been sitting there doing my work the whole time. I've watched all the interaction. I've watched my wife's blood pressure begin to boil. This is a grown-ass woman that is now going to leave this huge mess all over everything. And you start telling her, could you finish? Could you pick this up? She goes, well, I don't know what to do with it. And you're like, well, you have to finish packaging it first. And she acts like because she doesn't know what the end result is, why continue on down this path? Why finish boxing it up? Why finish putting a label on it? Why finish addressing it? Because I'm not sure what to do. So you get mad at her about that. She finishes it all up. It's still sitting in the living room.
I told her to go read the email.
Yeah. She stands there after she gets it all. Now she's mad. You're mad. And you guys are standing there. And she goes, well, I don't know what to do next. What am I supposed to do with it? And I interrupted and I said, well, I think you should leave it in the middle of our living room. And that way the company that made these pens knows right where to come get it. And she goes, what? I go, do you think leaving the box ready to go in the middle of my living room is the answer? And she goes, to what? I said, you don't know what to do with the box.
No, the company's going to come pick it up from our living room.
Yeah, I would have thought, drop it off at the post office or UPS.
Yeah,
that's what I would have thought, but maybe I'm wrong. I didn't read the email.
Yeah, and the emails are idiot-proof.
She wants to leave it there.
Uh-huh.
Because she doesn't know where it goes next.
Right.
I said, well, that's when I became sarcastic and said, well, just leave it in the middle of the living room. I'm sure they'll find it, and they'll come pick it up. And she looked at me like, will they
tell
do this?
The truth.
Will they come? No, they won't. Put the fucking box by the door. We'll take it when we go to UPS. Oh my God.
Oh no. It didn't stop there. Whoa. So she says to me, she tapes it up, puts the thing on it, and she goes, now what do I do with it? I said, what does the email say? I keep referring back to the email like, I'm not going to answer all your questions.
Go look
I have
it
to
up.
Do the same thing. So she goes, oh, I have to take it to a UPS store. I'm like, there you go. She goes, well, are they open? And I play dumb. I'm not really sure how late they're open. I'm like, maybe you need to make a phone call.
You're not giving her the answers.
I'm not giving her an answer. I go, guess you got to make a phone call or take a drive over there. Figure it out.
And she rolls her eyes. Yeah.
She rolled her eyes at me and was trying to get out the door. Guess where the package is right now till this day?
I saw it when I came out. It's by the front door.
Yes, it's by the front door, labeled. It never made it to the UPS store. Now I also know when you make a return, they have a deadline. Like, you don't get to keep this box forever.
No.
So I'm leaving it there. I want to know how many days it's going to be. So this is day two or three. That it's been sitting by the front door. Now, if she would have asked me, hey, Mom, you know, because I go to the UPS store a lot, could you drop this off? I probably would have said yes, but she didn't. I'm playing really dumb and going.
I like how you're teaching her a lesson. You could have answered, go read your email.
Yes.
Follow the instructions. Well, what time's UPS? Go look on your phone. Find out you.
They live in the world of telephones. They
pushing,
have everything
you're
right
pushing
there.
All of her questions back on her.
Yes.
She's a grown-ass woman.
Well, she's getting mad because I'm not answering her questions.
Right.
You know, I'm making her go work for it. And she was not happy about that at all.
So the movie for Trippy Pineapple and Discord this week is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, cool.
I have a small Ferris Bueller story.
Oh, boy.
When Ferris Bueller came out and my entire family had gone to see it before I got around to it. And my grandparents saw it and they loved it. My parents, my aunts and uncles. And that happened to be right after they all saw it separately at different times, but there was a weekend we were all doing something at my grandma's house and everybody was there and I still hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had mentioned, I said, well, I'm going to go see Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And everybody turned around and said, that is an autobiography about you. My grandfather pointed to me. He goes, I never thought they'd make a movie about you. And they made a movie about you. Now I hadn't seen it, so I didn't know what he meant. And I said, oh, is it like me? He goes, yeah. So I said, so it's kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, God.
I'm an adventurer with a woman, a monkey, and a whip. He goes, no. He goes, this is about you in your truest form, my grandfather said. And then I went and saw it. But that's a true story. My entire family.
I can see that.
Pointed the finger and said, wow. If there, and my grandmother said he wouldn't shut up during the movie. He goes, "That's our grandson. That's our." She goes, "Shut up, Jack. Quit talking."
You know, I could totally see that movie, Jim.
So Ferris Bueller's will be the movie Monday night movie on Discord at 5 p.m. You got to go to discord.gg/GenXTalks. It's free. We hang out there. Sometimes there's five of us. Sometimes there's 50, but it's a good time.
Yeah, we do a lot of different things. There's a lot of different rooms in there that you can connect with people that are Gen X, and we have a few that are boomers. We have a few that are millennials, but it's all a great place for you to just go chat and find a friend and just talk.
Like-minded individuals.
Absolutely. It's fun.
So everybody tries to come up with these analogies for Joe Biden and how he walks around and doesn't know what he's doing. And he says things and then he stops. He just kind of shuts off. And then a minute later, he picks back up and takes off and does his thing. I finally came up with the ultimate analogy for Joe Biden.
What's that?
I have now, when I say this, everyone listening will forever go, he's right.
Okay. What is it?
Joe Biden is just like a Roomba. He goes around the room and bumps into things, then he stops. Then he turns around.
Turns directions.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. And then goes off the other. He's telling
and
me I'm wrong.
And then when he's stuck somewhere, he calls for help.
Yeah, he gets stuck somewhere, he calls for help. Tell me I'm not right.
That is a really good one.
He's a Roomba. Joe Biden is a Roomba.
I love that.
What do you want?
Hey, Brian's here.
Oh, okay. We're almost
done. He's like 45 minutes early.
You want me to put a mic on here?
No, you tell Brian Connor that we will be with him directly.
Yeah, we're almost done.
Yeah,
yes.
Tell him to wait in the house. He's in the green room.
We'll be right there.
Tell him he's really early.
And literally the green room.
Yeah, the green room. Kid came in here, our noon guest. So, yes, I do have a... I got a dumb story from an automotive story. I told you guys about practical jokes that we used to play on each other as mechanics.
Yeah.
I've explained a few of them.
Uh-huh.
One of the funniest ones, and this is going to be hard to follow along, so listen to me. If you take an air hose... You put things on the air hose. An air tool,
right.
You put a blower, push with your thumb, blows air. And there's air in this hose, and it runs air tools and air things. All right. I disconnected the air line from the compressor. Now there's no air in it.
Okay.
On the other end, I put an air blower, and I zip-tied the handle. Now if I plug the air hose back in, the air hose just blows the whole time.
Okay.
I take an empty coolant bottle with, and I put the lid on it, and I stab the coolant bottle with this air blower tool.
Okay.
So now, if I plug the line back in and I fill the line up with air, it automatic, because I zip tied the handle on the tool, it's open, it's blowing air, and it's a needle forced inside of this bottle, a plastic coolant bottle. You guys all know what coolant, Prestone, uh-huh. Antifreeze bottle. It'll swell up to bigger than a basketball.
Oh, Lord.
It'll
okay.
swell up like a beach ball and okay. then explode like a grenade. It sounds loud. So what we would do was we would disconnect the hose, stab it, and we would take it across the shop while a guy's working under the hood, and we'd slide it under the back of the car. We'd throw it
oh, God.
And slide it to the front. If you were really good, you could throw it under there and slide it all the way up under the engine. You'd run back across the shop. You plug the airline in, it fills up and fills up with air under where the guy's working and explodes. And after it does, you grab the hose and reel it in. You pull it back across the shop. So this thing explodes right under where he's working.
Oh, my God.
Normally, they hit their head on the...
Scare the crap out of him.
And hit their head. And by the time they grabbed their head and looked around and ran around to see what was going on, you've already rolled up the hose.
Oh my God,
the bottle,
that's so mean.
And you've taken it back, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Mean.
Now, what I did differently one time, that happened often. And so if you're not a new guy, you kind of know what it is.
Uh-huh.
So I got the bright idea. I want to set up the whole thing like I always do.
Okay.
But what if I left the coolant bottle full of coolant?
Oh, you didn't.
I did. I thought, okay.
Oh,
I wonder
God.
What will happen. Will it still make a loud noise? Will it just blow up and put a
oh
blow
my God,
a seam
what
out?
A mess.
So I took the, I set it up, I unplugged the hose, I zip tied the handle of the air tool, I put it, the blower,
oh
I put
God.
It, stabbed it inside there, and then I walked up. Now, because it's heavy, it's still full of coolant, the bottle still full of antifreeze. When I slid it under, oh, it went all the way under the engine where the guy was working.
Oh, my God.
I ran across the shop. I plugged it in. It swelled up just as big, blew up just as loud, but it blew coolant everywhere.
Oh, what a mess.
Now, the only problem was this guy, the engine was running. Okay, he's working on the engine. The engine's running. I sneak up, throw it under there, go back. It blows up, and of course, I reel it back in. This thing blows coolant out the sides, all over his stall, out the front, all over his clothes, his boots, his legs. It blows it up through the engine compartment, getting the bottom, the top, the sides, the hood. The open hood was dripping with this stuff. Got his face.
That's not cool.
And he ran around and shut off the engine and stood there in shock. He reached into the window, shut off the keys, and just stood there. And he's covered in coolant. There's coolant all over the next two bays to each side. And, of course, everybody comes walking over because no one's ever seen this trick before.
Right.
Now they're not sure. Well, that sounded like the coolant bottle trick, but there's coolant everywhere. So, of course, after two or three mechanics walk over, I mosey on over.
Of course you did.
I was like, what happened, Roger? What's going on, buddy? And he goes, I think I blew up this engine. I said, what do you mean? He goes, there was a loud bang. There's coolant everywhere. It could have only been that I blew it through a rod through the side of the engine, and it just blew coolant everywhere. He's still in shock about this.
Uh-huh. I would
now,
be too.
I'm looking at it going, there's no way. You couldn't blow a hose and have coolant do this much damage. It wouldn't go this far. So he proceeds for the next hour and a half to clean his entire stall, the stalls next to him, all of his tools and everything. Cleans it all up, mopped it up. Then he raises this car in the air with one of the lot kids and says, okay, start the engine when you're up in the air. He's on the lift. And he's searching for this coolant leak.
You haven't told him yet?
No, I just thought it was funny.
Oh, that is so mean.
So he spends half an hour looking for a coolant. He goes, well, it's really weird. There seems to be coolant in the system. I don't see a leak anywhere. He goes, but I'm afraid to give it back to the customer. I'm afraid to drive it because I don't know what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So after he spent about 3 hours between cleanup and trying to figure this out, I finally went over and said, look, I know what happened. And he's like, what happened? And I said, remember the coolant bottle trick? He goes, yeah. I said, well, imagine the coolant bottle trick, but full of coolant. He goes, are you fucking kidding me? And I go, no. And I pointed and I go, Tony did it.
You're awful.
Oh, he spent the next year getting back at Tony. He did every trick to Tony. Tony never figured out, why is he picking on me? Why is Roger picking on me?
That is so mean. Absolutely mean.
All right. Well, there's your tip and trick for the automotive world today.
Oh, my gosh.
Boys
Can
and girls.
Can we be done now?
Don't do that. Don't go
don't do that.
Say those things to them.
Don't do any of these things that he keeps telling
no,
you.
No, don't do any of that stuff. All right. So that's it. How long do you think we've been on?
Hour 22.
Hour 28.
Oh, it's close.
Pretty close. All right. Well, I don't know if we're going to get this edited or not. I got 30 minutes to get the studio cleaned up, vacuumed, and wiped down for our in-studio guest, Brian Connor.
Our guest is already here. That's out the window,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, the guest. Well, no, we're going to try. We're going to wipe this shit down. We're going to take a leaf blower in here and get this shit done.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All right. Say goodnight, Gracie.
My area is nice and clean.
Well, of course yours is. You got the smallest area in the whole studio. Look at this thing
I
here.
I take care of my stuff.
This has to look professional before Brian comes in here.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good
luck with that.
I have a gifted and talented wife who's going to...
Where is she?
I'm looking right at her.
I know. Where is she?
She's sitting in your chair.
I think not. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening today. Sorry on the radio station. We bleeped out for a little bit, but, you know, things happen.
I did put it. I don't know what happened, but I put it back right away.
All right. Well, that's cool.
All right.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll catch you later.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Not sure where you're listening in from, around the planet, AM, FM, Sirius, XM, or perhaps on the Armed Service Radio Network. Remember two things, wherever you go, there you are, and I'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Bye. Life is a